Good morning, everyone. My name is Jayesh Samtani. I am the small food specialist at Virginia Tech based at Hampton Roads AREC in Virginia Beach. I started this position in February 2013, and at that time, a lot of growers were asking me the question, what is a good variety to grow? And, you know, that's a very relevant question because strawberry production now for the good part in Virginia is under plasticulture production. So we are adapting a lot of what California does with strawberries is growing them under plasticulture production system. And they are still growing Chandler, which a lot of you probably know is an older variety from 1980s. So we were looking at what other varieties are there out there today that, you know, growers can consider for their farms. So keeping that in mind, you know, we came up with this objective was to identify cultivars that would be suitable for commercial production in Virginia climatic conditions. And this study was done at three locations in Southeast District of Virginia. If you see up there, you know, wherever the strawberry icon is, that's where the locations were. Two of them were in coastal Virginia, one in Virginia Beach, the other in Chesapeake, and then the third one in Northern Virginia in the Westmoreland County. In Virginia Beach, a lot of growers exclusively grow strawberries. They also, some of them grow it for the other berries as well as vegetables. Westmoreland, again, it's a mix of people growing strawberries in orchards as well as with vegetables. And same with Chesapeake, so a lot of the farm is diversified. So we chose these locations keeping in mind the grant that we had and the logistics. You know, we had to make it to the site and back on the same day, so we tried to kind of make it feasible for all of us to do that work. So just a little overview of the different conditions at the different locations. The experiment was set up as a randomized complete block design with three replications. At Flanagan Farms, which is in Virginia Beach, had more plants, about 30 plants per cultivar. And all of these cultivars that I will enlist in the next few slides came from NC State. So it was a collaborative project with North Carolina State University. The Flavor Fest came from QPEC because NC State did not have material. It's a relatively newer variety coming from USDA Maryland. Dr. Kim Lewis released it in 2012. So we wanted to see how that performs in Virginia. Flavor Fest had fewer plants because it had issues with leaf spot to begin with, but as the growing season progressed, that was no longer an issue that was relevant when it was bearing time for the berries. If you look at the fumigation practices, each grower does a little bit different. For example, Virginia Beach site, they fumigate with Picklore 60. The site at Chesapeake, they custom fumigate their plots with Telon C35. And then at Westmoreland, they do not fumigate, so they just applied a pre-plant herbicide, Devrinol, prior to planting the berries. So as soon as we acquired the berries from NC State, we tried to plant them at the same time, so you know that factor was minimized when we analyzed that data. So the planting date was kept within that same week. We tried to use the help of the planting crew at the farm to accomplish that. And there's a little bit of information that you read down below on the site history. So every grower is a little different. These are the varieties that we tested. A lot of the varieties, no surprises there, from UC Davis. Albion, San Andreas were the day neutral varieties. Most of them listed are June bearing. As I mentioned before, Chandler is a relatively older variety. Camarosa released in 1993. A lot of growers since, you know, the past 4 or 5 years now have been growing Camino Real along with Chandler as well as Sweet Charlie. So Sweet Charlie is favored for its sweetness, Camarosa for its long distance shipping. So a lot of growers have been using that at their site. The Sweet Charlie comes from University of Florida. And then we tried some Florida varieties, and the newest one was Flavor Fest. So this is at Westmoreland site. The lady in maroon t-shirt, she's the extension agent, so she was involved with planting and data collection. A lot of times when I could not go, she would be the one collecting data for us at Westmoreland site because that's about 3 hours from where I'm located. So we took plant canopy readings early season, mid-season. This is a photo taken right after the cold season is through in early March, mid-March, sometime around that time. We took plant canopy readings, and then we also took a set of canopy readings right around the bearing time. So as we progressed into May, you know, we got some yield, and that's one of my students, Michael Conway, that you see. She's collecting data, collecting berries to record the data on the berries. So this is at Lily Farms in Chesapeake. You know, you can see the baskets that have a green color on them, coded green, are the marketable. The red ones are coded non-marketable. And behind the wooden post, you can see a weighing scale where the data was actually viewed and the weights collected. So I'll quickly run you through the results. There was a location by treatment effect. The treatments are the different varieties. And at Virginia Beach, what we found is Camino Real yielded very comparable to Chandler, in fact, a little bit higher. And then if you see some of the Florida varieties, in particular Radiance Winter Star, not doing as well at our sites. The Flavor Fest is somewhere in between. At the Chesapeake site, which is where Lily Farms is, if you look at the yield data, this is in pounds per plant. Camino Real, Chandler, Camarosa, and Benicia were the high-yielding ones. Again, Winter Star, Radiant, some of the Florida varieties, by and large, did not do very well at our site. Sweet Charlie actually yielded pretty well at this site, but it did not yield very well at the other site. The other site that I'm showing next is the one at Westmoreland Farms. Albion also did not yield very well, but what yielded good was Benicia, Camino Real, Camarosa. And that's followed by Chandler. So you can see, you know, the trend is more or less the same across the sites, where we have Benicia, Camino Real, Chandler performing well along with Camarosa. Oops, this is not showing up very well in this slide, but what we did is we summed up the marketable and the non-marketable yield to look at the total yield, because a lot of the non-marketable yield was fruits that are small, fruits that are diseased, so the disease aspect can be overcome if you follow a proper fungicide spray application. So we thought it's important to look at total yield as well. There were some varieties that split open at the distal end of the fruit. Some had cavities, especially the Florida ones, Winter Star, Treasure, had cavities on the proximal end of the fruit, so those didn't do very well. But when we combine the data, and you can't really see the separation very well in this slide, but Benicia, Camino Real, Chandler, Camarosa, you know, the trend was more or less consistent, and we were able to identify some varieties that yield well. So every other picking, we picked fruits about twice a week per site, and every other picking we recorded the fruit size as well as the sweetness of the fruit using a digital refractometer. This is one of my undergraduate students, Kelly Jacobson. She is collecting sweetness, and this, you know, this picture here is of a blackberry trial that we did, but the strawberry sampling was done very similar to what you see. So this is what we found in regards to sweetness. Flavor Fest was, you know, our sweetest variety that we evaluated. So the sweetness of Flavor Fest is very comparable to Sweet Charlie. If you remember what I told you about Sweet Charlie in the beginning, a lot of you already know, it's really liked by customers for its sweetness. If you look at Chandler, which is a very popular variety that growers grow, you know, it's in, I would say, somewhere in the middle, followed by Camarosa. And Camino Real actually is a little less sweet than Chandler and Camarosa, but when I tasted it, you know, it tasted really good. A lot of growers agreed with me. They seem to like Camino Real. And Benicia, although it yielded high, the sweetness in that fruit was just not there. We also averaged across locations because the main effect of the location was significant. And if you see at Westmoreland Farms, which is in Colonial Beach, Virginia, the northern site, as well as Flanagan Farms in coastal Virginia, had sweeter berries than Lily Farms. So just to give you guys an idea, you know, that you must keep in mind that the refractometer readings is taken and then averaged over the season, but the thing to realize is that the sweetness of the berry can vary depending on the week, depending on the environmental conditions, and depending on probably the plant physiology and when it primes up for that level of sweetness. So for example, if you look at Flavor Fest, which is the one in the green, the week of 2nd June was when it was higher, and then if you see it, the read ratings were a little lower the prior weeks. Something like Sweet Charlie, which is an early bearing variety, the week of 19th May is where it peaked in its sweetness. We also took fruit size every other week, and we took it on 5 berries per plot, and we did that for the refractometer too. And the way the fruit size was taken is from the proximal end, the widest point, so basically the shoulder of the berry was what was recorded. And if you look at the higher sized fruits, came from Albion, Camino Real, and followed by Benicia. And if you look at Treasure Festival, some of the Florida ones, not very big in size in terms of the fruit size. Chandler and Camarosa were a little bit lower there than I thought, but Chandler is known to produce medium-sized fruits. Lily Farms, again, Benicia, Camino Real, San Andreas, Radiance had good-sized fruits there. And this is what you see at Westmoreland Farms, where Benicia, Camino Real, San Andreas, and Flavor Fest had the largest-sized fruits. We also looked at the early bearing capacity of each variety, because a lot of growers not only grow Sweet Charlie for their sweetness, but also for the fact that they're early bearing and it gives the growers an early entry into the market. So we wanted to see which other variety can compare with the Sweet Charlie in terms of their early bearing capacity. And you can see at 2 of the 3 sites, we had Camino Real that stood up to Sweet Charlie in terms of its early bearing capacity. So in summary, we had these 4 varieties that are listed up there that were top yielding, and the Camino Real yielded very well at all 3 locations. Camino Real and Benicia had larger fruits than Chandler, Camarosa, and Sweet Charlie. When you talk about sweet varieties, Sweet Charlie and Flavor Fest were the high yielding ones, so Flavor Fest may be a good variety for a grower to consider if he is looking to sell sweet berries. So I'm going to quickly scan through the site. I looked up, what was mentioned online about these varieties in regards to what the different breeders, as well as those who evaluated this variety at their states, thought of it. So Camino Real is a variety released in 2001. It is fairly resistant to Phytophthora and anthracnose crown rot, both of which are very relevant issues in Virginia. It has a very symmetrical conic fruit and a good flavor. This is how it looked like at our site. You can see the conic fruit there. Benicia, a variety released in 2010. Again, it has a good disease profile, but the taste was not very impressive. And this is how it looked at our site. Just want to show you some non-marketable foods that I was talking about in terms of cavities that we found in some of the Florida varieties towards the proximal end. Some non-marketable berries that were interesting looking, this one. If you look closely, it looks like the human lips, and then this one looks like a frog with the 2 eyes and the hind limbs. A thumbs up there, and then my favorite is the very last one you see is, with the bird sitting on the top of a berry. We ran some quick statistics, because what does all this mean to a grower? So we at NC State, they have this handbook where they say it takes about $18,000 per acre to set up strawberries. This figure is probably on the higher end, because it's taking into fact that growers custom fumigate their plots. A lot of growers no longer do that. They just use their own equipment. So the figure can be a little lower depending on the grower. So just to give you guys some idea, my graduate student ran some basic economics on an Excel sheet with different plant populations, stand count at their site. So if you look at the numbers outside of the parenthesis, you can get more profit by packing in more plants. So no surprises there. But then also a lot of the varieties then you can consider as being profitable. But as soon as you decrease the farm stand of that of those varieties, the number of varieties that you can consider then goes down. So we took this into the, you know, account. You know, the average across the state is about $1.59 a pound. Time up. Okay, well, I'm going to skip through a lot of these slides. We did some variety tests at grower sites. So again, if you look at the flavor of the Flavor Fest, it was highly ranked. This is 25 respondents on the survey asked to rank 1 through 5, 5 being very high. Firmness, not that important. But again, sweetness, you see Flavor Fest, you know, a lot of the people trying it gave it a 5 out of 5. So basically what it boils down to, you know, you can really sell a fruit that's good looking, that's marketable, you know, that's saleable. But the question is, you know, in a site of pick your own, are the customers going to come back? Not really if they find the fruit to be bad tasting. So in order to keep the customers, retain the customers, you have to sell them good, you know, good fruits, good tasting fruits. And that's why all these factors are important. So any questions with that? Do I have time for questions?
No,
probably
no time
not. I'll be around till the end of the session, but thank you for listening. Yeah.
Please.